How's everyone doing today? Good morning. I saw Jane come in. I always love seeing you here. You're one of the cool, hip moms. I always was like, oh, that is one of the best moms around. So I just want to say shout out to you. Always loving on us so well. But yeah, I spoke last week, and I was just blessed to be able to do that. So thank you, Pastor Paul and Ainsley, for allowing us to even be up on the stage. We know that's a privilege as well as, a big responsibility. So thank you. We are here back in Huntington Beach, and it feels wonderful. We're not leaving. We unpacked our suitcases totally. It's a little odd because it's been the last couple years have been really heavy with travel and missions and, you know, all that stuff. So it just feels good to, like, put boxes away or throw them away, actually. So it's really good. I'm really excited to be here, and we just want to say thanks overall for all the wonderful hospitality. It's like it never ending. So you're so good at it, it's almost awkward. So I just want to say thank you for being so hospitable and always just welcoming us all the time. It really is a strength that isn't commonly seen, actually. So thanks. My wife is awesome, and she is speaking today. And, I was thinking of how to introduce her, but I was recalling I don't often get dreams. You know, some people have a lot of dreams and interpretations of those dreams from people, but it was a while ago, actually. I think in 2005 or 6, I had a dream. We had just started dating, and, it was a very interesting season of life for me and college and family and stuff like that, and I was on a trip, actually, in Mexico with my mom and my brother and my sister, and actually right around this time, during Thanksgiving, actually, and I felt like God told me in this dream, like, when you see that janitor kind of figure with a big key, the zip key has a bunch of keys on his hip, and I thought, I was really processing, like, what am I supposed to do with Karis? I'm starting to date her, da-da-da. And I felt like in this dream, God had told me, oh, she is going to be a key that opens a lot of doors for you. And that just really stuck with me because, I hadn't always chosen to date the right kind of women. Some of my friends here will attest to that. And so when he spoke that to me, I just was like, wow, that's almost a little too big for me to comprehend. You know, she's going to be a key that opens a lot of doors. But now I'm on a stage, and so I just want to say thank you, babe, for being that key, and I'm excited for you to crush it. So have fun.
Thank you. Thank you. He was crying a little bit more this morning, so only got a few tears. What a joy to be with you guys this morning. And first, I got to highlight some awesome family. So I'll start with my husband's family. I have my mother-in-law, Teresa, and Susie, and the great-grandma, the great Noni, Roberta. So blessed to have them here. And then it's a real honor, to have my aunt Teresa. Would you guys stand up? Sorry. And my cousin Lisa and Scott. So pull it all together, but man, we talk about rad people in your life. The fun thing with blood is they can't get away from you. So I just want to say I'm so blessed to have you guys in my life. And Teresa, you're the rock to the Bauer side of the family. You have been so amazing. And as you guys will hear me share my story, just how you've supported our family in ministry and your crazy brother, my dad, that has gone and done the wildest things. Like, you've always supported him. And so thank you so much for your love and support for not only what we do as a family and ministry, but being a radical woman of God yourself and being such a role model for me. And the same for Scott and Lisa. Thank you for, just being radical Christians and just doer of God's word. And so it's a blessing to have you guys here and to hear me share. Aunt Teresa goes to Vineyard by the River, and they're up at Seaside, correct? So, stoked to have them here, and, blessed by all my family that's here. You guys are spectacular. All right, thanks for the tissue. Hopefully I don't need it anymore. All right, so first I just want to start with honoring Pastor Paul and Ainsley and saying thank you so much for bringing me and Zach and to trust God to bring us here and to be a part of the staff here at Hope Chapel. So thank you. And then our missions committee, are you guys still here? Anyone at second service? All right, you guys get to stand one more time. Would you guys stand up? All right. There we go. All right, this rowdy crew was crazy enough to believe in us from the beginning, and as a church, you guys have been supporting us. But these awesome men and women have been encouraging us, praying for us. They send us birthday, anniversary cards, and really, you know, just open the doors, doing those little things to get us here at Hope Chapel. So thank you so much for loving us so well and keeping up our faith as we're out doing things for God in Hawaii and internationally. And then thank you to the congregation. You guys had no choice. So thank you for welcoming us. And it's been such a blessing already, as Pastor Paul said, just the first couple, or the first really week. So I want to start a little bit of sharing my story and who I am with you guys. So I'm 34. I was born and raised in Maui and Oahu, and my parents were full-time missionaries. Has anybody heard of Youth with a Mission? Oh, this crew is a little bit more rowdy, all right, than the first service. So my parents, originally from Southern California, we got Long Beach and Bellflower for my parents, and they joined Youth with a Mission and went out to Hawaii. And so the first half of my life, I grew up doing Youth with a Mission. I would travel every summer in a dance performing arts group called Keen's Kids, which Lisa rocked out with me. Actually, my older sister and Lisa, they got to do all the cool dances, and I was, like, waiting for the day to, like, man, I can't wait to do, like, the big kid, like, rad skits and performances that they get to do. So that was the first about 10, 11 years of my life. Then my parents leave Youth with a Mission, and we take a sabbatical, and we move to actually Seal Beach. So here, as a missionary's kid, I got to live what I call my, like, dream life, the normal life. I got to ride the bus to school. I had friends that I played with on my block, and I rode my bike to school. And then to top it off, to make it the American dream, I joined Girl Scouts. And I, like, totally loved it. I had such a great time and really enjoyed Seal Beach. And if any of you guys are familiar, if you knew on Fifth Street, there used to be called this, it used to be the Seal Beach Inn. So my parents were good friends with the owners, and so my parents came and managed it during that time. So I had a blast here in Seal Beach and getting a little taste of Southern California. Then a pastor in Oahu in Grace Bible Church called my parents and pretty much said, "You guys got to come out. We need your help. We need you to pioneer some work here in Oahu." And my parents, being known in Youth with a Mission, they helped pioneer the Maui and the Oahu base. We're like, we're all in. So we pack up and we head back to Oahu. And there I become now, was a missionary kid, had my year or so of a normal life. And then I go back as a pastor's kid. And then my parents start Surfing the Nations. And so for the second half of my life, I get to do surf ministry and missions with my dad. So the first half, I'm dancing with my mom. The second half, I get to go surf and adventure with my dad. And it was such a blessing. So from age 12 to 22, I went to Bali, Indonesia every summer and got to do missions trips and surf rad waves and meet rad people. So that's a bit of, like, my life. Then right after high school, I had no option. I didn't care. I was stoked to go to college. So I went to Azusa Pacific University, as my two sisters above me, just joining the party. And loved college and majored in business administration. And then the fun story that my husband loves when I share is how we met. So imagine me, obviously surfer skater, so I'm on our campus. And everyone always asks, why did you go to APU? Like, why didn't you go to, why am I spacing on the name? Point Loma. Point Loma's right on the water. I was like, I was stoked. I visited APU, and I was, like, all about it. I love the community. So as a surfer,
I went to Azusa Pacific. So hanging out with all my friends, I thought I knew everyone that like surfed on campus. And so we were hanging out by the dorms in the parking lot skating. And I see this guy delivering pizza. And I'm like, this guy, I think he surfs, but I don't know who he is. So I don't know why. I decided to do a little catcall. And I'm like, ow, towards this guy walking, delivering pizza. And so the guy like looks over, there's a whole like crew of us, and then like looks back and keeps doing his thing, delivering the pizza. So I never see this guy again. So then the next semester, I coordinate with Surfing the Nations missions trip to Costa Rica with APU's spring break. So a whole crew of us joined up with Surfing the Nations. We're all in Costa Rica. And so one morning we're coming back from a morning surf session. And I'm with my dad, of course, and he has to pick up hitchhikers. So we see these guys hitchhiking, we pull over, the guys get in the car, and again, me and my dad are sitting in the front, so we're kind of like detached from the conversation. And so all of a sudden I hear, hey, I go to APU. No way, me too. Hey, I work at Cougars then. And the other guy's like, no way, me too. And then all of a sudden, totally uncontrollably, I turn around and I say, oh my gosh, you're the hot pizza boy. And I am like totally embarrassed. I'm like, hey, I told this guy I think he's hot. I don't even know him. And two, like right in front of my dad, that's so embarrassing. Like, I can't believe I just said that. So I just keep going, act like I never said anything. And then of course these guys get out and to be nice, they come to the window and say thanks. And one of the guys introduced his name, and he said, my name is Zach. So I'm like, all right, I got this guy's name now. And back then, this is like 2004, I think. We don't have like the full-on like Facebook, Instagram, like social stalking network available yet. You know what I mean? So I don't see him again. All I know is his name is Zach, and he's at APU. I study abroad in Australia the next year. I don't see him for a solid like year, maybe year and a half. And then my senior year, the first couple weeks of school, a mutual friend that's been telling me about this guy that surfs that she thinks I'll like, invites me to lunch, and he's gonna be there. So I'm like, sure. So of course we go to lunch, and it's like 5 tables deep of people, and Zach's on this end, and I'm on the other. So we have to wait till like lunch is over, and we finally start talking, and we pretty much hit it off from there and hung out all the time. And I did have one test though. I was like, he's not marriage material unless he can surf better than me. So we went surfing, and I was like, all right. He checked that list. He's on the candidates of possibility. So that's how Zach and I met, was hitchhiking in Costa Rica was our first official introduction, and then God just kind of like weaved our lives back together. So now fast forward, we have two kids, Malachi and Caleb, 3 and 2. And then directly from college, I lure Zach with me back to Surfing the Nations, and we get to, you know, start off our relationship in Sri Lanka and Bali, the first summer missions trips, and then he comes home with me and joins staff at Surfing the Nations. So from graduating from school, I've been at home in Hawaii, working with my parents and helping them really pioneer Surfing the Nations in Hawaii. And for those of you that haven't heard us share before, Surfing the Nations, our new property in Wahiawa, within the first 2 years, God just like opened the door, and we were able to close down a porn shop, a strip club, a liquor store, and a bar. And God's just been really doing radical things in Hawaii through Surfing the Nations. And we run a coffee shop, an antique store, just a lot of cool things where we've been able to really engage the community transformation. So that's a little bit about my background and who I am and a little bit of my DNA. So yeah, that's a big part of my life. So I want to jump into the message. And today, the title of my message is Calling. And God's first calling for us is to love and obey him. And so in Joshua 22:5, it says, but be very careful to obey all the commands and the instructions that Moses gave to you. Love the Lord your God, walk in all his ways, obey his commands, hold firmly to him, and serve him with all your heart and all your soul. So love and obedience is what God is asking us. And that's easily said, but it's really hard to do. So going back to my junior year of college, I got to studying abroad in Australia. And I actually moved in on the YWAM base as it was right next to my university. And so one morning, I'm just having my quiet time with God, and I'm talking it up with him. I'm like, God, I'll do whatever you want. I'm all in. I'm all yours. I'll go anywhere, do anything. And I just feel him whisper back, you will? I'm like, yeah, I'm all in. So there's a group of students that were doing their training school, and there was one guy that I cruised with a lot. His name was Steven. He was a skater, but, like, I wasn't into him. But he was there. He was like your best option if that was like the only available crew. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm talking back and forth to God, and he's like, okay, you're going to follow me? And I was like, yeah, wherever you want, I'll do whatever you want. And so he whispers back to me, I want you to marry Stephen. I'm like, what? I'm like, no. Like, I'm called to surf ministry, God. Like, I've surfed all my life. Like, skating, I don't want to do skate ministry. I don't want to move to Washington. Like, it's rainy. It's, like, overcast. I thought I was going to stay in Hawaii and surf. And so as I'm just, like, blabbing, I'm just like, okay, God, I'm all in. I can do skate ministry. I'll get my skating game up. I can skate. I know you'll help me, like, deal with the weather. I can do this. All right, I'm all in. I was like, you got to build the love for Steven, but you can do all things. I was like, I'm down if that's what you want. So I'm just like, all right, I'm in. I was like, but there's one thing. I was like, Steven has to cut his dreads. I'm like, not into the dreadlocks. So the next day I'm sitting in the cafeteria, and Steven comes running, holding something in his hand, and as I'm looking, and he's yelling, Karis, guess what I did? I about fall out of my chair. Homeboy had cut his dreads off, and I was like, that was my one saving grace. That was my one, like, escape, was these dreadlocks. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is my future husband. Like, I'm moving to Washington. Like, I'm gonna do skating. I thought I was called to, like, surfing. All right. So I'm like, okay. So the next morning, I'm having my quiet time again. I'm just talking with God. And I'm like, all right, Lord, you make this happen. I don't know how it's gonna be. I even was like, I don't know what my parents are gonna think. Like, Washington. All right. Like, so as I was just, like, talking with him, I felt God just say, as I was like, I'm all in, like, I trust you. And he just said, you passed the test. He said, this was your Abraham and Isaac moment to see if you will go and do whatever I ask you. And for me, it was such a bonding moment with God of, like, we just built this level of trust of, like, I'm all in and I trust you and you trust me. And it was such a platform for the rest of my life. To just know that I trust God. And so that same way is I want to challenge you guys to love and obey God. How are you spending time with him? What does your quiet time look like? And like, it's so fun. Like, this first week, I've come into the sanctuary, I open the door, and I hear just the word of God being read audibly. And here we got Tom over here just sitting in that far right corner, just reading the word loud and having fun. And it was such an encouragement. So thank you for just being an example of someone that's passionate just to be a reader and a doer of God's word. And it was so encouraging for me. So what is your time with God look like? How are you engaging him? How are you making room in your schedule to hear and obey him? That's our first call. So let's read Mark 12:30. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. All right? God wants a relationship with us and us to engage him. All right, our second calling on our lives is to love and to serve others. Let's read Mark 12:30 and add verse 31 now. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally as important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. Wow, this scripture blew me away when it says it's as equally as important to love others just as much as you love God. I think there's a lot of us that it's easy for us to maybe love God, but we leave out the other side. Or maybe for some of you, it's easier to love others, but you've blocked out God. For some reason, you've been hurt. You don't like the church. Someone's been a bad example or has hurt you, and we separate the two. But God's called us to first love and obey him, and secondly, but just as equally as important, is to love and to serve others. And so I feel like this combination is so powerful. And when Malachi was, he wasn't even two yet, my oldest son, we were at the park, and this random other little kid just walks up to him and straight just like chest punches him. And I was so mad. I like literally almost picked the kid and like threw him to the other side of the park. I was grateful his parents like stepped in and scolded him because I was like, yeah, he deserves that. But I was just like, wow, I really understood, like, man, God's our father. And when we don't love and serve each other, his heart is so broken. And when we cut each other down or, you know, just do silly things, like, his heart is grieved. And so in that same way, in this, God is saying, wow, can we understand that? It's just as important to love and serve God as it is to love and serve others. All right? So that's our my first 2 points. All right, Galatians 5:13 says, "For you've been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but do not use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to love and serve one another, to serve one another in love." So we're called to serve. All right, our third calling is to steward the earth and every living thing. So I translate that to, you got to have a career. So for those of you that have maybe some young adults and your child is still lingering in your house, you're like, this is, you're supposed to have a job. You're supposed to contribute to society. Like, everyone has their place. And just like God talks about in 1 Corinthians 12 of the body parts and how we all make that up, there's the spiritual body, right? And then there's the body of our community. And so we need teachers, or else how we learn to read and write. We need farmers. How are we going to eat? All these jobs are so, so crucial. And then when you take these jobs and you walk out the first two callings of loving and obeying God and loving and serving others, this is how we transform communities and how we see our community thrives and our families thrive. And a great example of this is Joseph. And this story goes down in Genesis 37 through 50. And I'm really encouraged with the story of Joseph, because a lot of times for us, or if you're a young adult and you're trying to decide what career, we're so focused on the career when God just wants us to love and obey him and love and serve others and let God just open those doors to your career and what he has for you. So the story of Joseph, he's betrayed by his brothers. He's sold into slavery, right? That's how he like starts his life. He has these great dreams. He knows God's called him to great things. So he finds himself, he goes into slavery. He gets thrown from being a slave in Potiphar's house to then going to jail. So he's stuck in jail. Do you guys remember how he gets out of jail? He interprets some dreams, but if we break that down, really the actions behind it is he's loving and serving people still, despite no matter what, he's in a jail, and he's still loving and serving God. So because he's faithful to those first things, because he's for sure not living out his dream or his calling, right? You think anyone's dream is to, like, be incarcerated? Probably not. So I don't think he's, like, stoked in that situation. But yet his attitude is focused on those two things. All right, then his opportunity, he gets a chat with Pharaoh. What does he do with Pharaoh? Turbo's another dream. This guy's got that down. But we break it down again. He's still loving and serving people, right? And he's just obeying God, and he's being bold and trusting God. Like, oh, I could die, but I'm going to tell this guy, this Pharaoh, the ruler of this nation, how it is. So again, this guy is walking in those callings of like, I've got these things down. What do I have to lose? So from there, he becomes number two. Then he continues on. I don't know if any of you guys have some hurts, but it's pretty bad to be sold into slavery and abandoned by your own siblings. That's pretty rough right there. Like, talk about people the closest to you hurting you the most. That's heavy. But yet, when they come back, he focuses on those two things, and it's bigger than himself, and he forgives his brothers. He restores his whole family and really just gives his family new life. And then with that and his love for them, obviously he saves his whole family, and out of, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the whole tribes of Israel come out of this, right? But then he also saves his whole community, and this going back to your career, why that's important, is like he saves all of Egypt and the like surrounding regions from like a famine. Like, this guy is loving and obeying God and loving and serving his community. He's like, he's crushing it. All right, so this leads to my final point, where God has called us to encourage people. And if they're rock solid and they're thriving, that's awesome. And then for those that aren't, we're called to restore them. And so I feel like as the church, we need to be God's hands and feet. And just like I said in the beginning, like God says it's equally as important to love others and to serve them just as much as you love him. And so I want to challenge you guys, to really analyze. Look at your weekly schedule. Where are you serving and loving the community? How are you engaging God? How are you knowing him so that you can actually obey him? And so, it's not too late, whether you're old or young. Like, it's just about starting and initiating that adventure and that ride with God. And for Zach and I, that's where it's been so much fun and so freeing, when we're like, all right, God, like, we're all yours, and we want to press into what you have for us, and we trust you, you know? Like, we're so excited now, and to see all the little steps that God brought us to Huntington Beach, it's actually kind of crazy if you look at Zach and I's lives and, like, how they mesh. Even from, like, Tommy right here in the crowd, of, like, he was in the coolest Christian, like, ska band in Hawaii. And then he comes out here later with the whole crew that was in that band that were like, I grew up with in middle school, become Zach's youth pastors and youth leaders. It's like so interesting to see how like God has every little detail. Even it's crazy how many like Hawaii people are in this congregation. Like it's unbelievable of how God is so intentional to bring his will and his purpose. And as we are faithful to just trust him and obey him, and love those around us, like he'll bring us on that call, on that adventure, and we'll be able to see transformation and to see our community restored. And we want to see Huntington Beach just thriving. We want to see Hope Chapel just thriving. We want to see all generations involved in this church, and yeah, just all in. And so that's my challenge for you guys, is to be all in. And how are we going to make a difference in this city? And it starts with us, you know. It starts with us knowing God and being able to live him out in the streets and in our jobs and in our communities, and, you know, encouraging our families and being there for friends and for strangers and the lost and the broken. If I can just pray for us to really grab a hold of that, and to know that God is hungry for you to love him and to love his people. All right, let me pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for just the body of Christ and each one of us in this church, Lord. And just thank you for, already the acts of love that have come out of this church already. And we just pray for more, Lord. We pray that you would light a fire in each one of us, Lord God, that we would draw closer to you, that we would love and obey you, and that we would love and serve others and incorporate in our work, in our families, Lord, and wherever we go, Father. And we're grateful for your love and your grace. And that nothing can separate us from you, Father. So draw us back to you. And yeah, any of you guys that have just stepped away from God, I encourage you, take the time, just pray with him now to draw him back and to make things right. So Lord, again, we just praise you and we thank you for what a good God you are. And yeah, thank you for loving us first, Lord, and forgiving us first, Lord, that we can walk with you. And we just lift up your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us. Sunday to have going into Thanksgiving week, and Harris Hifflin, way to go, man. So young and already an adventurous life. Can you imagine? Don't you? Everybody wants to have that kind of life, and you can in Jesus. So if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, man, he's always available at the door of your heart. Just say, Lord, I need you to. Karis, thank you, because something that's so unique about what you spoke about, we see that. Ainsley and I see that in your lives. You love the Lord. You demonstrate your love for others. You will career it in whatever it is. If there's a need, you meet that. And sometimes people recognize even simple need like a piece of trash. That represents a need on the ground. Well, they won't mind meeting that need. People are encouraged by your life. So thank you for speaking things that you do naturally, and I just need to let you know that. So thank you. That was a timely message, and we get a chance just by doing good for others. Isn't it true? Aren't people enriched and encouraged? Well, Zach, Karis, I know you've got some family here, but if you wouldn't mind, we're about ready to have Ainsley, my dear wife, just pray us off a blessing, and we want to extend a very happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And we know we've got a life group next door going on, so some activities happening. But Zach and Karis, would you go to the double glass doors and everybody get a chance to shake your hand or high five it or who knows what? We just think that's great. But can you thank the Iflins once again? Aren't we glad they're here in Huntington Beach? Man. Well, Ainsley and I, we love Hope Chapel especially, and we love this city. And the God seems to be bringing, over the years, almost 17 years we've been here, God has resourced this city with some of the finest dedicated men and women. And we heard of one today in Karis. So it just feels like that momentum is just building up once again. If you saw that little anniversary program, you'll see loving the past, but man, just that element of embracing or living for the future. So great things are ahead for your future, and we thank God for each and every one today. Well, thank you, honey. And I thank God for you. Just thank you. Well, we're going to let you pray us off a blessing, okay? And thank you, worship team. Sean, Jen, we're grateful for your time.
Thanksgiving really does, in so many ways, launch our holiday season. And holidays are times to be grateful. Be grateful for the wonderful things that God has put in our lives. And we are grateful for each and every one of you. You're our family. We are grateful for our blood family. If you were together with friends and family this Thanksgiving, would you not miss the opportunity to tell them that you love them? Some of you are facing your first Thanksgiving without a loved one with you and your family. And you'll be sitting around the table and there'll be someone missing. And for you, our hearts go out for you this Thanksgiving and this Christmas that you've lost someone dear to you. But aren't we grateful that the Lord has put one another in each other's lives? And so we want to pray and bless you this Thanksgiving. So let's do that. Lord, we want to thank you for this wonderful day and for this wonderful season that you bring us into. Lord, we are thankful people, and we realize and we recognize that you are the one who is deserving of our thanks and our gratitude. So we want to thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for a country that recognizes a day that should honor you. Lord, we thank you for our country. We thank you for our church. We thank you for our families. We thank you and praise you for our loved ones. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your provision. And we thank you, Lord, for things that go unmentioned by us. We're sorry that we don't notice each and everything, but God, we give you thanks for those things that mean so much to us. And we want to bless and thank you that you're our Savior and Lord, that you died on the cross, that we would have eternal life if we would just believe in you. We're grateful for what you've done. So we go with thanksgiving in our heart, and we look forward to a wonderful week and holiday season. And all God's people said, amen. Have a wonderful day and Thanksgiving, everyone.
I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel Huntington Beach. It's our desire to share Hope Chapel's teachings globally, and we'll be excited to hear how they are empowering others to live for Jesus. If this message has brought you closer to Jesus, we'd like to know. Email us at office@hopechapelhb.org. And if you would like to support this ministry financially, you can give online securely by clicking the Give button above. If you're interested in Hope Chapel contacting you, fill out the Get Connected tab below. Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. Again, thank you for joining us.